or what, but.
So you basically stole two chickens. Oh, we're live.
Well, yeah. I didn't
Welcome
steal
to this
it.
Week's podcast here at the Charter House.
I'm not a, I don't check the bag at the window. But I felt the bag was a lot bigger than just two fries.
We're going old school podcast today where it literally is a Friday after work podcast recording on a Friday morning.
We need your help out there.
We are just winging it today.
We're just dragging ass, man.
Charter's like,
let's just be honest with the people listening to this, man.
I've had one of the worst weeks of my life.
I've been sick all week until today. Today's my first day back.
Nick, what's wrong with you?
Nothing. I have no complaints.
Alex Trebek's dead. I mean, it's been a terrible week,
dude.
He's not
dead.
I mean, he's got pancreatic stage 4 cancer. He's as good as gone. But, you know, he's not dead yet.
That seems a little insensitive.
Well, I mean.
He ain't listening.
I'm a realist, and sadly, he'll likely be gone within a year. But it's tragic. It happens. But that was sad news this week.
Can you find a replacement for that show?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to.
The thing, how many different, like, accents he had to do with different languages and stuff, like, that's, he was kind of a jack of all trades there.
I mean, that show will definitely go on. That thing's a cash cow, man. They'll keep rolling. But
Drew Carey.
That's the one you don't want, the old pancreatic cancer one. That's the bad one. So not that any of them are good.
God, I didn't.
What? You didn't know about it?
No, I knew about it. I'm fine.
It's just fitting the week of, you know, your car break-ins and floods and.
Keeps freaking snowing and
snow, and our team sucks. It's like, this has just been the worst week ever, dude. And guess what, listeners? You're going to take it. All right? You are going to take it. We're going to try. We're going to try to come up with something interesting and fun to talk about today. I did ask people to tweet at us if this always goes better when Chris asks, because people actually follow him.
You want me to retweet it?
You can if you'd like. The first one I got back was, how stoked are you guys for the Jonas Brothers getting back together? That's actually breaking news. I did not even know that was happening, to be honest.
I didn't know they weren't together.
What do the Jonas Brothers do?
Singers. Joe Jonas, Nick Jonas.
I've heard of Nick Jonas.
Kevin Jonas. They were huge back in the Hannah Montana era. Yeah.
How many Jonas are there?
Total?
Well, in there's the band.
Three.
There's
three and Jonas.
Three. There's three. Yeah, but no, they were huge. I mean, they never had one song that I thought, oh, that's a great, great song.
They weren't huger than Hanson.
Hanson's a great band.
I always liked Hanson. I'm never, afraid to admit that. Hanson, I liked Hanson, and they still tour. Oom Bop. That wasn't even.
Boom ba da bop. Boom.
That was not their best song.
A doo a doo wop. Boom bop.
Did you have their CD?
Nope. Never had a Hanson CD.
The compact disc.
You just downloaded it on Napster.
Are you guys still going to Kansas City tomorrow, next week, or are you all just depleted from the clones?
Well, to answer part two first, I am depleted by the clones. I mean, it's just... insert fart noise, dude. I mean, what in the hell? And I know, Chris, you're not in the mood to talk about how bad we suck.
Talk about whatever you want, man.
But we suck, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, we are just atrocious garbage right now, and I'm sorry. I know the players, they're doing whatever.
Atrocious.
The players are doing the best they can. Fine. I'll blame Prome. I'll blame Prome. I'm fine with that.
Atrocious garbage.
Yeah. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. And here's what sucks. And here's the cynicism in me. You've said repeatedly, Chris, and I believe you when you say this, that Prome is a very good guy.
Yeah, he is.
Salt of the earth. I think he does want to make men out of these guys. I think he wants to be a coach that cares about them and prepares them for the rest of their lives and all of that. And that's good. I don't want to say that you shouldn't have that in a coach. If you get a coach that's a good coach and those things come with it, that's a bonus. But at the same time, I think your coach also needs to be the type of coach that can do mid-game strategy shifts when things aren't working. I think you need to have a coach that's maybe not stubborn. Whatever. However you want to paraphrase this or characterize it. Something is missing. And Chris would know, not that you could tell us, but you know, I was talking to someone the other day that said rumors are we're going to have transfers at the end of the season. Who knows if that's true, but what in the world is going on?
That stuff always happens in the middle at the end of the year. I mean, we thought that I would have never thought that Cam Lard would be playing for Iowa State this year at the end of last. I wouldn't freak out too much. I'm sure there will be. I mean, there always are. It's college basketball, you know.
Well, I think especially with the way the second half of the season's gone too. Like
especially with the new rules and stuff, like these guys, the transfer rates are going to skyrocket even more. I mean, that's just part of the deal.
Can you, since you're the insider here, without going into any specifics on what you might know?
I know everything.
Can you? Well, you probably do. Can you guide us in the direction where you think the problem lies? From what I've heard, and by that I mean Twitter, and I'm talking about what the journalists are putting out there.
Okay. Just say if you've heard it from random people.
The Travis Hines of the world and all of that.
Oh, the guys that aren't doing their jobs?
Yeah.
That's what you're getting at?
It seems like, and here's the largest.
This is why I didn't want to come to the podcast today.
Here's the generalization of the day.
Because I'm serious with that comment.
Yeah. Here's the overgeneralization of the day. It's a camaraderie problem, which, okay, that goes 10 layers deep. But truth to that simple statement, there's a problem with camaraderie on this team?
I mean, I don't think that you have to be an insider to see that. Just watch them. You know? I mean, in a week span, or actually, I talked about this in depth yesterday, so I don't want to bore the audience. I will come at it from a little different angle. But, I mean, you've lost 4 of 5. There's a altercation on the court with teammates. There's an altercation in practice. When all those things happen individually, it's really not that big of a deal because things happen. But the problem is when you lump it all together, it's just really bad optics.
And again, if that stuff happens in December, it's fine too. It's the team's building at that point.
The fact that it's March that's the problem.
You know what this reminds me of? Didn't Paul Shirley tell us the same thing happened?
Yeah,
his senior year.
I thought about that yesterday.
Like, and that was at Boise, right? When they went to Boise and lost.
That was it was in Kansas City. It was in Kansas City before they played Baylor. When Eustachy had him into their hotel room, and he was like, "I hate you guys.
I hate you guys, and I can't wait for this season to be over."
Yeah, no, I don't think that's happening here. But you know, I think like with the Jacobson deal, like getting in THT the other day, it's like I think Jacobson's like finally just fried, and he's just All these other guys, I really do think that all the younger guys are all looking at draft boards and stuff like that, where like Jacobson, THT, I think THT's fine. Like I don't think he's a problem, but I think that he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time the other night.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, this is the pinnacle of his basketball career. He's not going to play in the pros.
Yeah.
He's not. And he wants to make the best of it. And I think he probably is looking at it like you young punks are ruining this for me. And Mike really loves playing for Iowa State too. Like he wanted to play football at Iowa State and they didn't offer him and whatever. So he goes to Nebraska, comes back. I just think that we've seen with these transfers where they have like this last chance feel where I do think that they treat it differently than oftentimes freshmen and sophomores. And Iowa State has a lot of freshmen and sophomores. It really is a young basketball team. People don't like hearing that because it comes off as like an excuse. But the problem is, like you've got not they're young talented guys, but none of them are on the same page. And I think they were at one point in the year, and I don't know when that changed or why that changed. But there's no denying that a month ago they were one of the best teams in the country, and now it's completely off the rails. So, I mean, if I knew like the answer to it, then I wouldn't be sitting here with you guys. I can tell you that. I think everybody's searching for the answer.
Any speculation on what changed, or you have no clue? At all.
I mean,
I think just all the flaws kind of just happen to come up at the same time. You know, like there's little deficiencies all over the place, and you can usually cover one or two up. But then
I do think too. I think that Jake Sullivan was the first one to really point this out to me. But that Kansas game at Kansas, remember when the second half and Iowa State couldn't stop the dribble drive at all? I think that there's a little bit of basketball to this, too, where they got exposed in that game. And they just haven't – and I don't know. I mean, it certainly goes on Prome. Adjustment-wise, I think you could – all the other stuff like that. I think that the guys – I think I know there were a couple guys on the team that were more concerned about mock drafts than the team there for a while. I think it's a combination. I think everybody wants, like, when things go bad, they want to, like, know what's wrong. Well, sometimes there's, like, not an easy answer to that, and it's four or five things that have kind of accumulated and become one. That would be my answer to it.
I do think that, and not that it can't be repaired next season, being a good season would obviously help, but for the time being, Prohm's lost a lot of support.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that happens when you lose. Like, I don't think that that's, like, breaking news.
Yeah, but I think we went from we love this guy. It felt this way to me. We love this guy. We have a great coach to we have a bad coach really quick.
You did that in a month? You think he's a bad coach now?
I think after a month? I think there's a lot of sentiment out there. I'm not saying I said that. There's a lot of sentiment out there that yeah, he's not a good coach. And again, who am I going off of? Well, you go off people's opinions, right? And where do you see those? You see them on social media. So are they right? I'm not saying they're right.
What do you think? I'm asking what you think.
I think that what I say is a bad coach, no. What I say that he does not do a great job, apparently, of adjusting and calling timeouts in the right spot and diagramming inbound plays. I mean, things like that.
Some of the X's and O's.
I'd be like, no, he's not good at that stuff.
He's very unconventional with the timeouts. I've never understood that, and I've never understood his subbing methods. Like, it feels very random to me.
You know, mm-hmm. Do I think Wigginton should have been starting a long time ago over a freshman? Yeah, I do, especially a freshman that doesn't shoot.
You can say that now, and I agree with you. But a month ago, when they're in the top 15 and they're in a top 12 in KenPom, like, I could also see in a scenario where he changes things up and people kill him because why would you change what's
not
broken?
Yep.
And so I think he was in a hard spot there. It's easy for us all to say now, looking back. And I agree with that, by the way. I thought they should have started him when he first came back from injury. But then, like, I went on record, and I think it's okay to change your mind because things happen. Like, I loved – when they were really clicking, it was great having Lindell and Lard off the bench. Like, it was like you're plugging in, like, a whole new look, and it was really screwing with teams. And then it just clearly – But I think that's a little hard for me to kill him on that just because they were in the top 15, you know, like what
there was
I know the fans and they would have killed him for changing
a friend of
what's
mine,
not, what's
a,
already working.
A friend of mine posed a theory to me without knowledge, without insight knowledge, but just that Prohm might have lost the team back when he didn't start Wigginton when he came back. And the theory of that is Wigginton got hurt. You know, the guy could have left last year.
Yeah.
Didn't. Comes back. That's good for the school. The guy gets hurt. Not his fault. And essentially loses his starting role as one of the best guys on the team. And the coach never puts him back in.
Yeah, I think that that all has to do with more than just basketball. In fact, I know that. Like, how are you acting off the court with your teammates? How are you, you know, that type of stuff. That has to do with that.
Well, and that falls back into what my brother was the one that posted it the other day, and he took a little bit of heat for it. I agreed with him. I agreed with his take, which was the when Babb went down, the video of that, and Wigginton just kind of looks at him. And walks away.
It looked terrible.
Never even went over to
it looked horrible.
And you've seen plenty of times where two, three teammates run over to
it looked
check
horrible.
On you. How you doing?
I hear you.
And that looked bad. And then, you know, I didn't hear too much feedback on it. But the other one the other night was Lard laughing when we were getting, you know, bulldozed on the road.
That was horrible.
That rubs me wrong because I always hated losing when I was playing and I wouldn't have been in that good of a mood.
Oh, yeah. You got brought up to me last week, by the way, during the combine. Somebody texted me about your 4.3 40
Yeah.
That you ran. And like, man, Charter would be faster than all these guys here at the combine.
He still got it.
Back in the day. By the way, no one ever claimed 4.3 That became
you said 4.3
No way.
4.2
That became
4.29
That's a gray lie that grew.
Just saying
to epic proportions.
Somebody was watching the combine and they're like, "Wow, Charter's faster than all these guys."
That's definitely not true. You know, I am faster than, and I believe this. Although I didn't see the official time, Rich Eisen. I think.
Well, there you go.
Rich Eisen.
How old is he? 50?
Rich Eisen usually runs like a 6, just right around a 6. You know.
Yeah.
I could not believe, by the way, I was watching quite a bit of the combine.
I wonder what I would run these days. It'd be bad.
I don't know.
I would definitely.
I don't want to know.
I'd break like an Achilles or.
You know what I was thinking the other day? Because when you picture it, broad jump is you just stand in one spot and see how far you can jump. And the guys that are really good are doing like 10 feet, roughly. And in your mind, you go, that's not that far.
Yeah, that doesn't seem much.
I could probably do that. And then, I want to lay out a tape measure and see if I can even do 5 feet at age 40. It'd probably be pretty ugly.
You got to land it too, right?
I was trying my vertical the other day unofficially, and I literally felt like I pulled my shoulder muscle as I reached up above my head. It was absolutely horrendous.
I understand.
But some of these humans, though, in the combine.
They're freaks, man.
Oh, my God, dude. There was a guy. Who was the guy that's 300 pounds? He was it was a D lineman, right? There's a D lineman that's over 300 pounds and ran like a 4.449 or 4.45 or something like that, 40. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then I saw why Hakeem Butler won't be the first wide receiver picked. I wish he would be, but you said DK Metcalf guy for
the
Ole Miss
guy. He's total freak show.
Holy balls, dude.
Total freak show.
Off the charts and everything that he did.
Does it make you like long for a greater day when you watch that, knowing that you were right there with those guys?
Oh, totally right there. I was 6'3" back. You know, I was also 228. Could 225? How many times he did it? 27 times. I don't know how many times I did 225. I could certainly. I used to do 225.
He probably did more in that one set than I've done in my entire life combined.
Bench was never my thing. The most I ever benched in my life was 285. That was it. It was not my thing, man. I was.
You should have tried steroids.
It's all the rage. Did you?
Well, I did. Yeah, yeah. True story. I didn't do it to try steroids.
It was just a social experiment.
No, there was an ad in a magazine.
Peer pressure.
There was an ad in a fitness magazine. For product, just like there's lots of ads for different products in there. And one of them was called, I think it was called Stenandiol, I believe. It was made by, I remember.
That sounds really illegal.
get this, though. It was made by German-American Technologies. So
don't put that in your body.
So I'm like, okay, it's advertised in the magazine, right? It's like, you know, it's in a real magazine, so it's got to be a legit product.
Hans and Franz.
This is what I'm thinking. At the time, I was probably 19 or 20. I think it was in college. Pretty sure I was in college, and I think it was summer, and I was just lifting because, you know, cared about what the body looked like. And started taking the stuff.
Hans and Franz.
And it was not an injection. It was just a powder.
That's a terrible sign, Mark.
So I started taking the stuff, and I noticed, like,
the workouts. This the first time we've heard this story?
I noticed the workouts are pretty easy, actually. And I start noticing, like, other people. I'd be around people. It's the summer. I had my shirt off, and people would say things like, "Jesus, man. You know, like, what are you doing?" Like, that type of stuff. I hadn't thought much of it at the point other than I'm just taking a supplement, so the supplement's working. So I was at home for the summer, I think. My mom was worried
about
me.
Did you have, like, pimples all over your back?
No.
Like?
No, but I noticed, like, I had a lot of energy.
Was there shrinkage?
I had a lot of energy, and I was super horny. That's what I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because I think it affects testosterone, yeah. Obviously. I remember being really horny, but
had nothing to do with you being a 19-year-old.
But my mom, my mom,
just lifting weights all day.
Oh. Hopefully, I'm remembering the story correctly. But my mom ended up stealing some of the stuff and taking it out to Iowa State and asking them to test it to see what it was. And I didn't know she was doing this.
Were you like yelling at your mom a lot? Was there rage?
I was probably snapping at her a little bit.
Like, did you?
In hindsight, it probably was. Something triggered. Like, moms always know, dude. She's probably like, God, my son's...
Why is Mark on edge?
Sure, he's raging all day.
I never had trouble putting on muscle, but now I was, like, putting it on, you know, a lot. And so she took it out to a lab at Iowa State. I don't know. It's one of the science departments. And they tested it, and they're like, yeah, that's steroids. So she told me, you're taking steroids. And I honestly didn't know I was taking steroids.
Wow.
Were you competing at
and
this
being,
point?
And being at that age, I remember thinking, oh, well, I don't really care. But I did stop. I didn't take
did
it
you
for
just
much.
Like, was it like letting the air out of a balloon after
no,
the steroids?
No, I mean, I'm 40 now, so I don't even recall what happened. But I remember the name of the product. I remember...
Hans and Franz?
Nope, Stenendial. Stenendial, German-American technology.
Where did you buy it from?
Did your chesties start to grow?
I bought it through the magazine. Like,
oh, okay.
There was an ad in the magazine.
Mail order.
I didn't know if it was like...
Mail order's the way to go.
Yeah, they mailed it to me. So they could still make the stuff for all I know. I'll look it up here as we're talking. But so, yeah, so apparently I was on steroids.
Were you still...
But I did not do it on purpose.
Actively running in... school track stuff?
This would have been likely after. I think I was back at Iowa State and I wasn't doing anything anymore. German, I gotta look
it up. So it doesn't matter that you took steroids then?
No.
When I got into my really big workout kick, I do it every spring. Like once I get off the road, like then I'll work out 4 or 5 days a week and then football will start and then I'll lose all self-control. And it's a process that I'm on.
It's a vicious cycle.
I started taking some stuff from like Complete Nutrition last year, and it was a similar type of feeling in the sense that all of a sudden, like, lifting weights just came, like, twice as easy. Like, it was the craziest deal, and I was worried. Like, I was sitting there, like, fretting at night, you know, like, my anxiety. I'm lying in bed. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm on HGH. I'm taking steroids.
I'm destroying my
liver
and kidneys.
What you just described was, like, a nightmare to me. More because we were trying to have a baby, and they can, like, kill your boys.
Yeah.
You know, the boys.
It can affect all that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the boys don't swim as well.
So this might be it. This is pill form. This might have been what it is. Again, guys, this is, I'm not trying to give you the wrong information. I'm going off of that was 20 years ago.
I'll be the test subject here.
So Stenendial, I found something. Stenendial, I think that's it. It looks like it still exists out there. This one's three different bottles. German American technology Stenendial. This is probably exactly what I took, and yeah, it sure as hell worked like a steroid. So I'd not recommend taking it. Although it worked if you're looking to put on some muscle mass.
Speaking of drugs,
let's try it out.
Did you guys see the David Irving deal last night?
Yeah,
I did not see it, but I've heard a lot about it today.
A little cloudy in there, wasn't it?
Former clone.
So he's quitting NFL?
Yeah, he's quitting NFL so he can smoke marijuana. He went on Instagram Live, and can we all agree that the marijuana laws are ridiculous, though? Like, he has a point. He's a total idiot in this video, but he is right. I mean,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, he is right. Like, he's like, how often do you see an NBA player get that? Like, well, you're right. It never happens. Never happens with UFC. Never happens. He has a point. It's just he's so stupid in the way he comes across of getting the point across. It makes him look ignorant.
So what was he saying? What was the gist of the video?
He's smoking weed and basically saying, like, and again, he's right. He's naming off all these, like, painkillers that these NFL teams will pump into their guys so they can keep going. He's like, oh, yeah, but if I have a joint of this, like, then you're going to suspend me and all this stuff. Like,
yeah.
I would say, like, 90% of what he said, like, I could sit there and go, yeah, he actually is – he's onto something here.
It wasn't what he said. It was how he said it.
But he's like – I mean, Nick's right. Like, there's just, like, a cloud of marijuana dust all around him behind. And he's just like, you know, he's pretty stoned in it. And he's basically just saying he's mother effing the NFL because of their drug policies.
I have a problem with the NFL's drug policy or any sport's drug policy concerning marijuana because it's not performance enhancing. It's like, do they ban these players from smoking cigarettes? No, they can smoke cigarettes. It's unhealthy for them to do that, and they know that.
Isn't it more unhealthy to smoke cigarettes than marijuana?
It probably is. My point is, like,
that was a rumor.
What does a dude smoking pot in his living room have to do with what he's doing on the field on Sunday?
His point.
I don't get the correlation.
It was really fuzzy, and it was hard to understand, like, some of the video. But I think his point was, this is what I take to, like, cope with pain.
Yeah.
Because it's a medical deal.
Yeah.
And I'd rather do this instead of, like, you injecting me with all these painkillers.
Yeah.
But I get suspended because this is my choice. And it's like, well, again, David, you might be right, but it is a law. And, like, you know, I think that I should be able to drive 65 and a 55, but if I get pulled over, like, just because I had that belief, the cop's not going to let me go, right? Like, laws are laws, unfortunately.
Right, so is that where the NFL is getting their, like, suspension worthiness from? Because then, if you had a drastic speeding ticket or a DUI, you should... Well, you get suspended for DUIs now, don't you?
Yeah.
In the NFL?
I think so. I don't know. It is interesting, though, and then the whole... All the Visha stop sign jokes were inevitable
yes.
at that point. I'll never forget that night either. Plugged in the old police scanner and listening to it.
You had one?
There's an app.
Oh, okay.
And my wife and I were lying in bed, like a couple of fresh out of college yet aging middle-agers, and we're listening to the just absolute debauchery going on up at Court Avenue. And I never forget, we were lying in bed listening to this, and I went and got a beer. I was like, may as well join in on the fun a little bit.
Listen to that police chatter is always. Stop sign stolen.
6'7" African American male is carrying a stop sign around. Oh, it's David Irving.
Chris is living vicariously through him in his bed.
Notify the Tribune. By the way, so here's something. First player that comes to mind, in what we posted here, someone, Jake Voss, posted someone
Love
else's.
Jake Voss.
What player from your rival school did you actually enjoy watching them play?
So a former Hawkeye?
Any rival of Iowa State.
My favorite Hawkeye to watch ever was Chris Kingsbury back in the day.
Really?
He'd shoot those threes from, like, half court.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
He was not bad. I liked Luke Recker back when
he
played.
He was a nice kid.
Another guy I watched, this is going way
Jess
back
Settles
now.
Would be my number one, though. He's my boy.
If I considered Kansas a rival of Iowa State, which I do in basketball, I was always a Jacque Vaughn fan.
Oh, yeah. Jacque?
Remember he wore a rubber band on his wrist? Remember that? Yeah. Do you have one?
I used to see those teams up close a lot because one of my best friends was friends with Rafe LaFrenz, and we'd get to, like, go and, like, get all the autographs and stuff after the games, and it was fun.
Rafe,
you guys totally blindsided me because the tweet itself has to do with football.
Oh,
something like football, then all of a sudden you go basketball, and I'm like, whoa, wait, who? Jess? He played football too? No,
I mean,
oh no,
obviously for football, yeah, for Iowa State.
So
I liked watching Tim Noah because he was small and white.
Iowa had, like, fun little running backs there for a while, like Freddie Russell was fun.
Tavian Banks,
yeah, they had, like, Timmy Dwight, like all that era. They had fun little players. I mean, they were fun to watch. What about you, Nick? I could name
have to go
a million.
Drew Tate,
a million Big 12 players, though. Like, I love Big 12 football. Like, it's my favorite thing. Like, I could watch any team play and enjoy it. Like, we were so blessed to watch Baker Mayfield up close as long as we did.
Is Baker your fave?
He's one of my favorite players of all time.
You know, Charter had a shot at getting an autographed card of his.
Instead,
he got ripped off.
You ask me what Iowa State's missing. They're missing their Baker Mayfield, and I'm not even talking about like their like physically. I'm talking basketball.
Yeah,
they need an alpha man.
Yeah,
they don't have a dude And I think Jacobson was trying to be that the other night, but it's March 6th. Like, I've told the story to you guys before, the Melvin Edgem chucking a basketball at Jordan Raley's head story. They need that guy.
But it's not like, so George.
We need Wigginton to be that guy.
Everybody points
to
George and says George was that guy, Naz was that guy. And I'm not disputing that. They probably were those guys. But.
They learned from Melvin.
At what point, though, does it happen? At what, someone has to stand up at a practice and say, this is my team.
Yeah.
And everyone else has to believe it. Right? Well, you can't just say it's your team and no one's buying in, you know?
I actually read a really good piece about this, about how leaders. You can't stand up and say I'm a leader. Like people innately have to believe in you.
Yeah.
And you have to instill that in them.
Yeah.
And I don't see a guy on I think that all of those freshmen can be. Yeah. I know Tyrese can be. THT's a good kid. Like that's the only thing I didn't like about the Jacobson thing is I think the wrong guy was on the receiving end of it. If it would have been Jacobson doing that to Wigginton, I would have been a lot more comfortable with watching that.
Dude, Halliburton, if he continues to play well, is easily the next George or Naz because of personality.
Yeah, absolutely. And THT can be that.
The fans love him.
The Condit, too. All those guys.
Yeah.
All those young kids on Iowa State's team. That's why the one thing I hate about all this is, like, the future really is bright if they can keep it together. Like, it really is. But, like, people are just losing their minds, and I get it.
Well, that's the big if, yeah. Can they keep it together?
And I'm at the point, too, like, the Wigginton deal, like, it's sad because, I don't know. Like, I with you, Mark. If I were the coach, knowing what we know, I wouldn't have waited at all. I would have put him back in because Halliburton would have been fine coming off the bench because he's a team guy. It's just, you know, Mark, you have different realtors. You have to talk to Bensie different than you have to talk to Nick. I mean, I have to talk to Jared differently than I have to talk with Rob. That's just kind of what managing is. And I feel like maybe and it's not a great indictment on Wigginton, unfortunately, but certain guys are better off the bench than others, and some of them will pout because of it, and I think we're probably seeing some of that. Yeah. But I don't know. Hopefully they can pull it all together. Believe it or not, Tech's a great matchup for Iowa State as far as matchups go, but, I mean, they're playing for a Big 12 title, and Iowa State's spinning out of control, so I don't know how anybody would pick the Clones.
It's kind of the point now where you just nothing surprises you.
Yeah.
They could lose by 20. They could win by 20 and be like, oh, okay.
I would not be shocked if they won at all on Saturday.
But even even if they win now, I don't think people have a lot of hopes for next weekend.
No.
You know?
So I'm going down. Nick was asking me earlier about Fawcast, and like our habit here is to overpromise and underdeliver. We're pretty damn good at that.
Nailed it.
Where are you staying? What hotel?
We're at the Plaza. Again, we're always somewhere down at the Plaza. But anyway, so we're going Thursday morning.
Are you going to the game?
To watch the game. Yeah.
So you're going to leave Thursday morning?
Leave Thursday at 7. Yeah. We'll be down there.
Okay.
Plenty of time.
I'm a Wednesday night guy. It's the best night in Kansas City.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Everyone's still jacked.
Well, everybody's there. Yeah. And you haven't had a chance to lose. That's the most fun
night. You haven't
had
a chance to lose. Yeah. So the question the question as it pertains to the forecast is obviously dependent upon Iowa State. If Iowa State loses at 11:30 on Thursday morning, that changes the whole direction of the weekend for a lot of people. Down there, a lot of people.
So, I'm going to stay no matter what. I'm staying with my family.
So I don't know if it's we'll obviously figure it out. But I don't know if it's a hotel forecast or a no forecast.
We'll figure it out.
Nick was thinking about driving down, so
just to do the forecast.
I am a team player.
Jesus.
Well, and get some of that Kansas City warmth. It's supposed to be like 49 degrees when we're.
Is it?
Yeah, it's not going to be very warm. Yeah. Highs
the best of the year is when it's like 70.
Wednesday, I think 60.
Really?
And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday is like in the 40s. So, yeah.
So pack one pair of shorts just in case.
I agree with you, though. When Iowa State is good and winning, and when the weather is in the 70s or 80s in Kansas City, that is a great place to be.
Hey, regardless, it's still better than last year.
What was last year?
You just knew that you were the 10 seed, like you had no chance.
Yeah, but the problem with this year is they showed what they can do. Like, everyone was willing to sit out the year last year, you know? And they got our hopes up. And
who did we lose to last year?
Everyone?
No, like, in the tournament.
Was it Oklahoma?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I would have been there.
I just remember going to it knowing that the season was over.
The good news, Cyclone fans,
because I was up in Sioux Falls and I went to Otzelberg. I didn't even go to Media Day last year there because I knew that it didn't matter.
Is there a chance that Iowa State plays Kansas in the first round?
Yes. If Baylor wins at Fog Allen on Saturday.
They lost to Texas last year.
Texas, okay.
All right, so if Baylor wins, which they could, against Kansas.
Then Iowa State would play Kansas.
And at least then, even if we lose, we at least get to play Kansas, which is an exciting game. So tickets are actually relatively cheap.
They are right
for
now?
That session. Yeah.
I'm going to guess the Big 12 doesn't want that one right away.
Yeah, that would be disastrous.
The lower level tickets, I went on and looked yesterday when I bought some. Lower level tickets are in the 60s. Upper level, I think, was in the 30s to start. And that's cheap,
yeah, that
especially
cheap.
If Iowa State plays Kansas. That's really cheap. So if you plan to go, grab a ticket now.
Yeah, and then
do it before you find out Kansas is playing, because then the cost will go up. So, no, I'll go. I look forward to it.
Do you think Kansas fans are in the same kind of state of mind as Iowa State fans right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
like,
so.
We might just make the trip. They're not wondering
if their coach is any good. They're not wondering about that. But it's the big loser in this season, this basketball season right now, is Kansas City, the actual power and light district, man. When Kansas is good and Iowa State is good.
Yeah, but it's not inconceivable that either of those two teams could do something.
Be there at the end.
It's not inconceivable based on what we've just witnessed. It's improbable, but...
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But
there still won't be any Bush lights.
The last thing.
Kansas State, though, is the one seed, which is good for Kansas City.
The last thing, though, that Kansas City wants, and you chuckle at the thought of it, but it happens, is a final involving Baylor and Texas Tech at the Big 12 championship, because the turnout is just poopy, dude. It's just people just
poopy.
Don't care. So they at least want K-State.
I'm going to go to the championship no matter what.
I'm looking
forward to it, yeah. I'm just going to stick around and take the kid to the Legoland, do a bunch of stuff like that, and then Saturday I'm just going to – I already have my hotel and just going to –
Where are you staying?
I think we're the Crown Plaza, Sheraton. I honestly don't know.
You stayed there before.
Yeah.
That's where we did the fall.
Before. Oh, yes.
Nice setup down there.
Yeah, it's okay. The media hotel's at the Marriott, but my family's staying at another place, so that's why I decided to go there. But anyways,
when you say my family,
my whole family's going to be there. They're all going this year, and that's why I want the Clones to just win one game. My parents are going, my in-laws are going, my brother and sister-in-law and their family's going, and then my wife and daughter.
Uh-huh.
So it's a whole deal. It's a whole deal.
Sorry.
Speaking of a whole big deal, we haven't had the podcast since the little football party we had last week. That was fun.
Yeah, did you enjoy that?
I'm glad you guys put that together.
Schmat Schmamble.
How did that go, by the way? I had to leave before...
it was packed.
Schmat Schmamble showed up. Did he wow the crowd?
I don't know. Did he wow the crowd, Nick?
Yeah. The person that wowed the crowd even more, though, is sitting on this this podcast right here. Stella, seriously, this morning was yelling Chris.
Really?
And I was like, who the hell is Chris? And I remember, like, after that thing, like, that night and the next day, she kept saying your name. She just kept wanting to see Chris. She wanted to see Chris.
She's my girl.
Up there on the stairs. She was, hey, Chris.
That's my girl.
And she was yelling it this morning. And I was like, who the hell is Chris? And then there you go.
That's my girl Stella right there, man. Yeah, it was fun. It's a fun event. I love that staff.
Manning's back in the house. They seem just real chill dudes.
Yeah, they are. Like, what?
I said Manning back in the house.
He was there. He spoke. I told him not to screw up our quarterback.
All those guys have such like normal personalities. Like,
yeah, they're very.
Most coaches, you know, they give the coach talk, right? And they're like, oh,
the worst
had a good
ever
year.
Was
we're looking
Mark
forward
Mangino.
To
Mark Mangino. I think he only went to one of those.
I think I was
the one.
That was at the bar.
It was down at the keg stand.
Keg stand. I remember
Mangino
that.
Like sat at this table by himself and basically just like growled at anybody that would come near him.
Yeah,
he was horrible.
He looks like he did look a lot like the Danny DeVito penguin.
Oh
character
man,
from
it was,
Batman.
I had so many people awesome. Come up to me and be like, "God, Mangino is a dick.
What's this guy's problem?"
He would not talk to anybody at those things.
Clearly, based on his tweeting, he is a dick.
Gosh, there's no question about it. I don't.
Did you unfollow him?
Yeah, I'm not doing it.
You didn't want to keep sawing wood.
So I've been doing a thing where I'm just unfollowing people right now. It's very liberating. I love it. If I see one thing and like I'm like, I'm not sure who that is, boom, unfollow.
Like, you're becoming Pollard, dude.
No.
He's not blocking.
I don't want
to. Are you muting?
Oh, I've been muting people for years.
But you don't block.
Unless it's like vulgar stuff.
Okay. Do a lot of people post vulgar stuff?
Yeah, on nights like Wednesday, yeah, they do.
Do
actually.
They?
Yeah, absolutely.
I keep seeing raunchy stuff thanks to Jameel McKay.
Like, is he I still follow him.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I got to keep an eye on Jameel.
Like Jameel liked something, and then it's like erotica?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adult films?
Yeah. Like, what the hell? I can scroll through Twitter and see nothing like that. And then all of a sudden, boom, like, yep, Jameel.
Anybody know what his Twitter handle is?
Yeah. It's just like, part of me is like, does Jameel know that when he likes it, it's going out to the world that he likes it? Is he aware of this?
No, I actually have a very good, like, on the medium itself.
Yeah.
Basically, I've gotten to the point where I feel like
Chris Williams still follows me, so I haven't said anything to piss
him like
off.
I'm following too many people.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I've started to purge. And
otherwise, there's so much random noise that just flies through on every little tweet.
I'm not getting enough out of the medium that I once was. So like if it's not like a personal friend or if it's not like a work related thing, I'm generally unfollowing right now. I feel good about it. Like it just makes I feel a lot less.
See, I
bet I've unfollowed 500 people in the last like week.
Wow, I'm going in the opposite direction where like
all
the random stuff is to how my brain already works. So it's just like it's feeding my soul.
Adding to your portfolio.
Yeah. Right now I'm looking for more like race car kind of stuff. Like I want Spring to get here. I want to hear just like watch a sprint car take a couple laps and just start following those people and injecting that into my veins.
I get it.
Meanwhile, apparently my brother's not following Tommy anymore, or block Tommy. I don't know what's going on with that.
They've had a long history together.
Haven't heard any. I thought they were back together, but apparently they're back off now. I don't know what's going on.
Unfollow.
You doing it right now as we speak?
Yeah. I'm unfollowing people right now. Unfollow.
So how many people do you follow? What's your count at?
Hold on. Let me see here. Let me roll it up.
Do you ever look at people and just go, they're kind of elitist?
I'm following 2,000.
Oh, that's a lot of
389. So it's not like I'm not an elite. I need to trim it down. It's gotten out of hand.
Yeah.
That is. Like, your feed is just.
It's nonstop.
Well, it's just no flow either. With that many people and different topics it's just.
Taking care of business, man.
Do you feel like, in a lot of ways, Twitter is not good for anxiety?
It's horrible for anxiety.
If you're the type of person, and I'm not this person, but if you're the type of person, I know a lot of these people that don't can't go to sleep unless their inbox is at zero for emails every night, then Twitter has to just destroy you because you could be like, okay, I'm going to catch up on Twitter, and then you catch up, and then you like hit refresh,
and
a crap load more show up, dude.
Yeah, you're
never caught up.
Yeah.
With Twitter.
Yeah, no, you just want to scream.
I think it's like, I can't catch up.
That's how.
It is not possible.
That little dot always pops back up.
That effing dot.
Yeah, I know.
Mother of God.
Well, I'm proud of you for unfollowing people.
And it's not like a, F you type thing, but it's like, do I really need to follow this sixth reporter from the Washington Post?
Do you feel like, did you feel an obligation when people follow you? Were you giving them a sympathy follow back?
Sometimes, yeah.
So you can't do that.
No, I know.
And if you're nice, you're like, I got to do that because otherwise I'm a dick. But not if you don't care what they have to say.
Well, my whole deal is I use it. To me, it's not a communication. It's not a personal thing. It's a work tool.
Yeah.
So like my personal Facebook page, which I'm friends with both of you, I use for like family and friends and stuff. Well, then I have my like work one that I don't post any of that stuff to, right? Well, this Twitter one is like, I use it for work, so if I follow you and you're just posting garbage throughout Iowa State games or whatever, and it's flooding my feed, like that's where it becomes problematic for me. Yeah. It's not personal.
The people
that's where I've gotten annoyed with, like the media not the media members themselves, but how many different media people are.
Oh yeah, I get it.
So every time there's a 3-pointer made, I see it 8 times.
I hate live tweeting.
You know?
Man. It's a pet peeve of mine.
That
nobody likes live tweeting. Yeah. Unless you have an account that's specifying.
But then you got the one guy's like, oh, I got a wedding today. Can live tweet to be appreciated. And then it starts all over again.
Yeah, and then like it you're just stroking egos at that point.
Stroking something.
I don't. I'm glad I don't overtweet. Like, and by overtweet, I mean the Fogcast account doesn't overtweet. Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally. We try to keep it light and snarky, though.
Have you, being that you're upset with Prohm right now, have you sent the one to Director Pollard?
I can't send it to him, dude. I'm blocked.
You don't think that Prohm should be fired, though, right?
No. Okay. I'm not. No.
Because he's about to go to his third NCAA tournament in 4 years.
Oh, yeah, but they weren't his players.
No, I'm not saying that because obviously he's recruited. He's recruited some good players.
Yeah. I'll say this, though. They did underachieve that first year.
Yeah.
The Sweet 16 is like worst case scenario.
I do think that we need.
They had some high hopes.
I do think that if he has some weaknesses.
Although Naz went down, so that.
He needs to shore up his weaknesses.
Oh, everybody does that in any form of life. I completely agree.
But hopefully he recognizes it. You know, the fact of like, oh, I didn't know timeouts worked like that. I guess I'll rethink it.
What do you want from him at this point? Do you want him to come out after the season and be like, hey, guys, I really botched that season. Because there are people calling for the change, right? They're calling essentially for him to be fired.
Yeah, I think people all they really want, whatever it is, whether it's a coach or a business or anything, is just transparency.
Got dog hairs all over.
Well, you smell like cat food too.
I think it's transparency, Nick. That's what it is. It's guys. You know what? 4 weeks ago, the team kind of lost its way.
And that's
on me. I take responsibility
after the
for that.
Game, though. Like I feel like he has been doing that. Like,
he's hinting at something. Yeah. The outside is getting in. What the hell does that mean, dude?
I think Prohm, if anything, like makes too big of a deal out of small things. Like I think that he actually is too transparent to some degree. That would be my argument.
It's just what was he saying about God too in the comments the other day?
Oh, I don't know.
The post games. In that, he was talking about, I don't know, Birch posted it.
I think it was like his faith in God. And like,
I mean, if I'm the coach of a team and things are spiraling, I'm going to tell you guys one thing. I'm going to try and fix it first.
Yeah.
And then I'll be transparent with you guys later.
Yeah.
So I just got to hope that he's doing that. Maybe after the season, I'll come out and, you know, kind of recap a little bit more in depth.
I think the average fan just wants some answers. How do you go from looking like a great team to being mentioned in the you're in the top 16 when that first bracket was announced? Fans are thinking this is a Sweet 16 team. We're rolling all those things to all of a sudden looking like a shell of that team very quickly. That doesn't just happen unless there is something to it. Typically, right? And you can say, well, our defense sucks and we can't rebound, so that's what happened. Okay, but we were winning before that, so what really changed?
Well, that is the truth, though.
But like you said, do you get scouted? Do you get exposed?
Straight basketball sense, like I think they got exposed, and I don't think that they've been.
Guys, I'm really sorry I brought it back to this. We've already.
But like their offense, though, like directly is correlated. There's direct correlation with the defense, and their defense has gone from like 19th in KenPom to 60th in a month, which is a big drop.
Is it effort, though?
I absolutely think there's effort problems.
Yeah.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Anybody got anything else?
Maybe we'll see some people next week.
Ryan Grove, we're going to see you. Well, you know what? Ryan Grove might not go to Kansas City.
Oh, fair weather fan?
He's a little frustrated right now. But
he's thinking about not going just because of losing?
Well, you know how much he likes basketball, too. Ryan Grove's a huge basketball fan. And he's frustrated right now. So I'll work on Ryan. We'll try to get him down there next week. But in the meantime, cheer him up by calling him to help buy or sell a house up in Ames. Ryan's at Hunziker. Good dude.
Hunziker.
He is a loyal Iowa State fan, although he's a frustrated Iowa State fan.
He doesn't sound very loyal right now.
That's okay. Loyal son's forever true. I hate it when people say, like, as soon as you don't like something, you're no longer loyal. That's ridiculous. You can be upset. Ryan's upset, but Ryan still knows how to buy or sell a house.
You painted a different picture.
He's upset.
Is Ryan upset about the taco time thing? And do we have any actual answers
on
that?
Closing at the end of March.
That they're closing, but then there's also rumors that they're just firing it up at a different location now. And maybe like
so
I think there's a lot of turmoil.
The franchise rights are for sale.
Okay.
It's one of the stranger franchises I've ever seen. There's five locations nationwide. 3 in Wyoming, 1 in Illinois, and 1 in Iowa.
Mark, you should buy it.
I don't want to buy it. Restaurant biz would suck. It should go right there, right across the
Village
road.
Village Inn. We make a killing. Let's go.
Dude.
Can they sell pies?
Here's the thing, though. If I told you, Williams, here's a business you could buy, not in the current building, because the building sucks and it's going to be torn down, but you could buy this business that's existed in this town for 51 years. You know it made money. You don't exist that long if you're not profitable, if you're not doing something. Somebody should go buy the rights to Taco Time and reopen it in Ames. This is not a hard decision. This is like ask to see their books and make it happen. So hopefully somebody does reopen Taco Time, and I think they will, but I don't think they have immediate plans to reopen. So my mom, by the way—
That is the in-depth analysis people tune in
My
for.
Mom, by the other day, went and bought some crispy burritos, and she said someone there told them. Someone came in and bought 1,000 of them to deep freeze. So that would have been probably $2,500 at least
that
to do
screenshot
that.
I sent you, that guy's a huge Hawk fan. Like, he probably doesn't find himself in Ames very often. And he was bothered enough that he sent a message to corporate asking if he could buy a bunch, you know. So yeah. Anyway. It's affecting everybody.
Man, we botched that ending. We were supposed to be off the air by now. All right. Williams.
I think he stopped recording. So
no, we're recording.
All right. Go ahead and do it for real this time.
All right. I'm going to do it now.
Go Cyclones.